We're starting here on the top of Chofchei Amud Aleph, two lines down. Gemara says, Karpaf yoter mi beit satayim, shlohu kaf ledira, uva lema'ato. So now we've discussed this Karpaf a number of times. It's a large area of land that has been surrounded by a fence, but it was not hukaf ledira. When it was originally surrounded by a fence, it wasn't used as a living space. I put that in quotes, living space, something that either involves a house that opens up into it, or the other requirements that we saw before in the perek to make it something that is hukaf ledira. So originally it's a large area, but it's a swath of land that exceeds beit satayim. We've seen until now in the perek that when you're mukaf shelo ledira, if you have an area that is surrounded, not for living quarters, then you have a maximum space that allowed of beit satayim. Beyond beit satayim, the area remains a karmelit, and you can't utilize it, you can't carry in it on Shabbat. On the other hand, if it's hukaf ledira, we paskin that you can have as much land as you want when it's mukaf ledira. So what happened here was you have a karpaf that is more than beit satayim. Shelo hukaf ledira. It wasn't hukaf ledira. That means that more than beit satayim is problematic. So what does he want to do? Ba lema'ato. Now he wants to diminish the size of that area, of that beit satayim. So what can mi'ato bi'ilanot lo havi miyut? If he plants trees to diminish the size of the area, that doesn't work. And that's because the opposite is true as well. We saw this earlier, that planting trees doesn't change an area from being mukaf ledira. If you have your house in that area, and then you plant the trees there, we said trees are a normal part of the landscaping that you would have for a house. We said that's a normal part of the landscaping, it remains in a makom mukaf ledira. So here, in the opposite sense, if you have an area that's surrounded and you plant trees, that doesn't diminish the space that exists, and you still have a problem because you have yoter mi beit satayim. Bana bo amud. If you build a pillar in this area, this pillar, according to Rashi, is afilu be'emtza. Even in the middle of this area that is surrounded, if you build this little amud, and with this amud, it reduces the size down to beit satayim. So obviously we're talking about here something that exceeds beit satayim by a small amount. And then putting this post or pillar in the middle is going to diminish it below the level of beit satayim. Gevoa sarah, this post or pillar is 10 tfachim high, v'rachav dalet, and 4 tfachim wide, havi miyut. That becomes a significant entity. We know that a reshut b'fnei atzma, we consider it a separate area. You have to be 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide. That gives you an area that is significant in of itself. And that can diminish the beit satayim here, or down to beit satayim. So now it'll be mutar to carry in this area. Question is, how small can the pillar be to get rid of it? And that's what the Gemara is going to test now. Pachot migimol lo havi miyut. Everybody agrees, if it's less than 3 tefachim, it doesn't work. So if you have a post that's 10 high, less than 3 tefachim, everybody agrees that's not significant enough, and it's batel to the area. That means it won't diminish the area, and it will remain greater than a beit satayim. Question is, migimol v'ad dalet. From 3 until 4 tefachim, is that significant or not? Rabba amar havi miyut. Rabba says, above 3, you're outside the world of lavud, which we'll see in a second, therefore you're ready into something of significance. Rabba amar lo havi miyut. Rabba says it's not significant enough, because we know to be a reshut on Shabbat, you need minimum of 4 tefachim. That's exactly what the Gemara says here. Rabba amar havi miyut, anafkele mitorot lavud. It's outside the world of lavud, which is something that is, quote-unquote, insignificant. It doesn't really exist. So that's why once you're above 3 tefachim, you already have an area that's significant, and therefore it will diminish the beit satayim plus. Rabba amar lo havi miyut. It doesn't work. Kaven to lavi makom dalet lo choshev. Until you reach that level of 4 tefachim, you're not considered to be significant, and it's irrelevant until it reaches that level. And you put it in there, there is no diminishment of the area. Hirchik min hakotel dalet. We distanced away from the wall 4 tefachim, ve'asa mechitza. And then he made a mechitza. So again, here we have a karpaf that is too big. Now the question, according to Rashi, now was no longer about diminishing this space, but rather, it was originally hukaf shelo ledira. It was hukaf, not for living purposes. Now, after the fact, they build a house that opens up into this area. We already saw that it has to be a case of patach or lusof hukaf. You have to have the dira there first, and then the wall put up afterwards in order to be considered hukaf ledira. If you first put up the wall, then put the house there, that does not make it hukaf ledira. So the way to solve a problem of something that's greater than beit satayim, There are two solutions to the problem. The first is one we just discussed, is to diminish the area down to a level that is Beit Satayim. The other solution to the problem is to make it a dira, an area mukaf le dira, which no longer has a limitation of Beit Satayim. So the first solution we just discussed, which is reducing it. What reduces it? The second solution we're about to discuss is, if I now make it into a living space. But the problem with making it into a living space is that after the fact, you can't make it into a living space. So what do I have to do to make it significant, quote unquote, a significant change, that it's as if I have a new area. If I have a new area, then it's dira, or patach, or lusof hukaf. But I have a dira, and then afterwards it was surrounded. So that's what the case is here. Here, chikmen ha-kotel dalit. He moves four tvachim away from the wall, the existing wall. Vasa michitza. And he makes a new wall there. Ho'il. That works. Because now you've changed the area that is now surrounded or enclosed by putting in a new wall along that area that is separate from the original wall. It's four tvachim closer in than the previous wall. Doesn't mean it reduces it below a Beit Satayim, because we don't need that anymore, because now it's hukaf the dira. There's a house open to this area. But the fact that I made a significant change to the surrounding wall makes it into a new wall. By building the walls anew, now I have hukaf le dira, and Beit Satayim is no longer a significant factor. So now, pachot migimel, if you put up the new wall less than three tvachim away from the old wall, lo ho'il. That doesn't help because lovud. Lovud means it's now batel to the original wall, and it's as if you did nothing. I mean, you might have widened the wall. That's fine. You can widen the wall, but if that doesn't take you under Beit Satayim, that doesn't help you over here. So that's the problem. So now, migimel v'adalit, again, we have the machloket. What happens if it's between three and four away from the original wall? Rabba amar ho'il. Rabba says it works. It works here to make it hukaf to dira, because you've taken it out of the world of lavud, above three, even though it doesn't reach the level of four, which is significant. Rabba amar eno mo'il. Rabba amar ho'il hadunafik lemitor lavud. You move the fence far enough away from the original fence that is no longer batel or connected to the original fence. That's enough. Rabba amar eno mo'il came into lavi makom dalit. The area that you're leaving behind between the two fences is less than four tvachim, which means that it's not a significant area that you're leaving behind. If you're doing that, then it's as if the walls are still one, even though it's not lavud, and halakhically they're not one, but they're one in the sense that you haven't created a significant area between them, so that this wall really is a new wall, and not connected to the old wall. Okay, now, Rav Simi Matni Lekula. Rav Simi wrote these positions, meaning the argument between Rabbo and Rava, Lekula. Rashi has a girsa, because later on Rashi says something which seems like it's Rabbo Bar Simi is the one who says this, that it's the Kula. So this machlok between Rabbo and Rava, they say that everybody agrees that once you get up above three tfachim, that it's Yotzei Mitor Lavud, and that's significant enough. That's the opinion, will be the opinion of Rava, which is that once you're above three, you've done enough, and you're good. Rabba is going to be even more makil. Before, Rabba said that above three, but less than four was significant. Now he's going to say, even below three is significant, since you've built something new. Even though it's within three tvachim of the old area, or even though you build a post that is less than three tvachim, that's still enough to function in this case. And that is Rav Simi's opinion, that the machlok between Rabba and Rava is actually dropped down one level. Before, we said everybody agrees under three tvachim is no good. Above four tvachim is good. Their machlok is between three and four. The way Rav Simi says it is that above four, everybody agrees. Above three, everybody agrees it's good. Their question is, below three, is it good or not? Rabba says below three is fine. Rava says below three is no good. So that'll be the machlok going to Rav Simi. Now the Gemara moves on to something else, which is, again, going back to almost what we said before, which is tachbotit. Gemara said before, if you diminish the size of the Beit Sa'atayim by putting it in an amud, does that work or not? Now the Gemara says, what happens if you thicken the walls? You put plaster on the walls to thicken the walls, and by thickening the walls, you reduced it below the size of a Beit Sa'atayim. Does that work, or is that functional in reducing it? So now, tachbotit, v'yochol la'amod bifnei ha'atzmo, havi miyut. If that plaster or thickening of the wall could stand independently. Yes, it's attached to the wall now. You thicken the wall. But if you pulled away the wall, that plaster, that cement that you put up would stand by itself. Then everybody agrees that that works to reduce the space, reduce it to below Beit Satayim. What happens if it cannot stand on its own accord? It's dependent on the wall for support to make it stand. But it's attached to the wall now. So the wall is there. So Rabbo Amar Avimiyut, Rabbo Amar Lo Avimiyut. We have another machloket again between Rabbo and Rabbo. Rabbo Amar Avimiyut, it works. Hashtamiyokoi, it's there. It's working. It's functioning. You're right, it couldn't stand by itself, but relying on the wall or resting on the other wall, it is there now. And the fact that it's there will reduce the space to below a Beit Satayim. Rabbo Amar Lo Avimiyut. Rava says, it's not a miyut, since it can't stand independently, it's as if it doesn't exist. But it doesn't exist, you haven't reduced the space below a Beit Sa'atayim. Right now we move on to another case here. We'll have a similar type of machloket by different Amoraim, which is Hirchik Minatel Dalit Vasa Michitza Huyo. So now we're talking about a tel. A tel is a plateau or platform area that is higher than the areas next to it. In this case, one of the walls of the area that you encompassed is not a physical wall, but rather it's a tel. It's an area that is higher than the area next to it. A mound of dirt here, it could be a flat you cut out of the side of the mountain like they do here. They chop out of the side of the mountain. You have a wall, not because you built a wall, but because you cut something out of the side of the mountain. There's a mountain on that side. If that's the way it was mukaf, you have this karpaf, and it was not mukaf l'dira originally, and now you want to make it mukaf l'dira. So in the interim, you opened up a house into this area, and now you want to make it that the walls were there after the fact. So now, hirchik min hatel, dalit. If you move the new wall away from the tel for tvachim, vasa mechitza, hoyo, then it definitely works, and now it's mukaf l'dira, because you've added a new wall on that side, even though there's more than beit satayim between them, because the fact that you put up this new wall, as if you started a new hakafa, you made a new encompassing. V'chod migimel, if you're less than three tvachim away from this natural wall, oh, al svata tel, or it's on top of the tel itself, now we have a machloket. V'chiste v'ramnuna, chadamar huyo, one of them says it works, v'chadamar lo huyo, one of them says it doesn't work. Now this is distinct or different than the case we had beforehand, because in the case beforehand we had a man-made wall, and then we tried to make it hukaf l'dira after the fact by putting up another man-made wall. And we said, well, to give me another man-made wall, you have to put a distance between them in order that the new wall is significant. Over here, the wall that exists, the natural wall, that natural wall, you didn't do anything to build it. It was there originally. So now when you put up a man-made wall, what is the status here when you put up this man-made wall? Everybody agrees if you put it more than four tzvachim away, that of course it's significant, because that was significant even when you had two man-made walls. The question is, what happens now when you put it less than three tzvachim away from the original wall, or on top of the tel? The natural wall was there, and then you build a man-made wall right on top of the edge of this mound. In this case, what is the status? And here we have a machloket amoraim between Rav Nuna and Rav Chista as to what is the status of the new wall. Is that considered to be hukaf l'dira at this point in time? Tistayim de Rav Chista mar hoyo. Let us conclude that Rav Chista is the one who says that it works. Why de itmar? Because we have another statement. Oseh mechitza al gabi mechitza. If you build one mechitza on top of another mechitza, an existing mechitza, Amar Rav Chista b'Shabbat Hawil. On Shabbat, that works. That's a new wall. That's a wall. V'nichse ager lo kana. When it comes to the possessions of a convert, it is not functional. It does not work. Sheshet Amar af b'Shabbat lo Hawil. Even on Shabbat, it doesn't work. Tistayim. Let us conclude that, of course, Rav Chista is the one who says that it works here. We have here a case of mechitza al gabi mechitza. You have the existing natural wall, and now you're building another wall on top of that. Does that have significance in the halachot of Shabbat? Rav Chisda tells us in another instance, yes, that a wall on top of a wall has significance. So if that's the case, then over here he should be the author of the opinion that's saying that this works when you put this mechitza on top of the natural wall that exists. The halacha here is dealing with another issue totally outside of Shabbat, which is nichsei ager. Nichsei ager is if a convert who passes away and has no relatives to inherit him. After he passes away, he had no children after he converted, so technically he has no inheritors under the halacha. His nichasim become hefker. They are now abandoned property, and the first person to take possession of that abandoned property will get to keep it, because it's hefker. There's no inheritor. There's nobody who can take ownership over it. Therefore, the first person in there gets it. In order to take possession of property, the ways to do that are kesef, shtar, and chazakah. The three ways that one can acquire land. Money, If you have a monetary transaction, you exchange money for the land, that's a form of kinyan. Shtar, documentation, through a document, you can take possession of land. The last one is chazakah. Chazakah means that you demonstrate ownership over the land. Demonstrating ownership over the land means that you do some sort of fix to the land. You open a new doorway. You close in an area that was before. You do some work on the land. Anything that you do that is significant or a change in the dynamic that is there currently, that is a chazakah, and that will allow you to take possession of the land. So Rav Chisda over here differentiates between Shabbat and Nechzei Ager. By Shabbat, building a wall on top of an existing wall is significant halachically, and it works. I mean, it's as if there is a new hakafah here, a new enclosure. Whereas for Nechzei Ager, you haven't done anything to change the land. There was a mechitza here before. Building another mechitza on top of it does not demonstrate any ownership here. You haven't done anything that's changed the land. There was a wall here before, and you just made another wall on top. You made the wall higher. That is not significant. You haven't done a significant enough change to take possession of the land. Now, Rav Sheshit disagrees with Rav Chisda and says it doesn't even work by Shabbat. But at least we know by Shabbat it works for Rav Chisda, and that's why we wanted to conclude that he was of the opinion that it's hoil. The number of Chisda, umoduli Rav Sheshit. Rav Sheshit agrees to me, shim asa mechitza ala tel, shohoil. They build a mechitzot on top of the tel that it works. In this case, instead of the tel being one of the walls of the enclosure, the house is built atop of the mound. The mound, the walls of the mound on all sides become the mechitzot. You have a mound that is 10 tefachim high, off the ground, a wide expanse, more than Beit Satayim, and you put a house on top of it. It has natural walls because the walls exist just because of the mound being high up, like a Rishut Yachid that we've seen in the past. Rishut Yachid, as long as it's 10 tefachim off the ground, and more than 4 tefachim wide, it has its own status. So here, the mound naturally creates walls around it. But let's understand, it wasn't hukaf le dira. It wasn't surrounded for the purpose of dira, because the walls pre-existed. The area is delineated without you doing anything. So when you put the house there, it's the equivalent of hukaf le sof patach. It's the equivalent of having walls, and then putting a house in after the fact. So now what does he do? At the top of the mound, he puts a wall around the outside of the perimeter. Over there, Rav Chisda says, even Rav Sheshit will agree with me, that's significant. Because beforehand, you're right, the people below, who are standing on the area below the mound, they had a wall in front of them that was 10 tefachim high. And when you put that mechitz on top, you've done nothing as far as they're concerned. From their perspective, nothing has changed. Because from the outside, you had an area that was already 10 tefachim high, you just made it higher. That did nothing. But for the people on the mound itself, when you put up the wall that surrounds the mound, you've now done something. For instance, if they were playing soccer up there beforehand, every time they kicked the ball, it would have gone off the mound. Now that you put up walls, you've actually changed what's happening on the top of the mound. Not from a sense of whether it's now Rishut Yachid or a separate Rishut, that existed before. But for the functionality of that which is on top of the mound, you've actually changed something by putting up these walls. And that's what Rav Chisda says. Even Rav Sheshit, who normally says mechitza gavi mechitza is nothing, over here will agree that this mechitza has done something significant, and it has impact halachically by putting up those walls. And so that's what he says. Rav Chisda, modeli Rav Sheshit, shemasa mechitza ala tel, shohil, my taima, ho bavir mechitzot helyonot hudar. Because now, for the person on top, you've done something different. He's living within those boundaries of the new wall that didn't exist before. Yes, from a halachic standpoint, he was in a separate reshut already, but he still wasn't surrounded. The edges were open, and things could go flying off, and he could lose privacy, whatever it is that you want to say has changed, but there's a dynamic change here. And that dynamic change makes it now that these mechitzot are significant, because you've done something that didn't exist before. But it sounds like that when you do something in this way, it'll never be hukaf l'dira. By definition, you always have the mound there before the house, and therefore, it's not hukaf l'dira. Unless you build the house on a mound, and then you expand the mound afterwards. That would be hukaf l'dira, because then the walls of the mound would have existed after the dira was there. But if the whole platform exists, then you put the house on, the Gemara's assumption that that is hukaf l'sof patach. By Rabba Barbar Chana, nivlu'u mechitzot tachtonot v'yonot kayamot. Mahu. So what happened here is, he built a wall on top of a wall. We said already, a wall on top of a wall, not significant, at least according to Rav Hamnuna. According to Rav Chisda, it would have been significant, so the question doesn't even get off the ground, because we know it's okay, it works. But according to Rav Hamnuna, who says normally when you build a wall on top of a wall, that is not significant, what happens now if the lower walls sink into the ground? So as opposed to what would be the natural course of things, which is that the lower walls would sink slowly. Over here, what happened is, one Shabbos, all of a sudden they woke up, and the bottom wall sunk into the ground, and all that's left is the upper walls. So now, your upper walls have become significant. The lower walls no longer exist, because they're now in the ground, they've sunk into the ground, and now your upper wall really becomes the mechitza. Until this point in time, the upper wall didn't have significance, because the lower wall existed, and therefore the upper wall wasn't meaningful. But now, with the lower wall sinking into the ground, the upper wall now becomes significant. So that's what Mary wants to know. What's the question about? Lamai, for what? Ilan Nichsei Ager. If you want to say the question is this enough for Nichsei Ager via Chazaka to make it that now you own that land? For instance, you built a new wall on top of the old wall. In the interim, nobody else comes and takes possession of the land. And suddenly the bottom walls give way, go under, and the top wall now becomes the real wall. Are you now in possession of the Ger's property? Mar says, Hainu de Yirmiyah Bira. That is like the statement of Yirmiyah from the city. Amar Yirmiyah Bira. Amar of Yehuda. Hai man de shada lifta apilo de ara. Someone who tosses a turnip into a furrow on the land. But it happens to be that it's a land of a Ger. Land of a Ger that's up for grabs now. And he throws in this turnip that falls into one of these furrows that will grow into something. Is that enough to be considered a chazakah? But then, Ata Yisrael Achrina, another Jew comes along, Rafak Papurta, and he loosens the earth. He hoes a little bit. He does a little work on the land. Bachok Kani. The second one gets a kinyan. Tama lo Kani. The first one does not get a kinyan. My time. Be'idna deshada lo kashavach. When he throws the turnip into the land, he didn't do anything. Nothing changed. He had a land that was plowed before, had furrows in it before. After you throw the turnip in, you still have the same land with the furrows in it. Just happens to be there's a turnip laying there now. Kika shavcha, mameleka mashavcha. If something grows from this lefet that you threw in there, that happens by itself. You didn't do that. That happened naturally. And therefore, you're not making any contribution here that's significant. Ve'ala, le'inyan Shabbat. So our question must be about Shabbat. Because by Nichsei Ager, it's clear that if something happens by itself, that is not significant enough to make it that you have a kinyan. So over here, where the lower walls fall in, and now the upper walls are functional, that happened by itself. You built the walls. When you built the walls, you did something that was insignificant. Now that the lower walls fell in, and the upper walls are now significant, that happened naturally. And so therefore, you haven't created a chazakah here. You haven't done something significant to take ownership of the land. So the question is, l'inyan Shabbat. Have mechitza nasa b'Shabbat. It's a mechitza that comes on Shabbat, and v'tanya, kol mechitza naseh b'Shabbat. Any mechitza that's made on Shabbat itself, this is something that did not pre-exist before Shabbat, it came on Shabbat, not because someone built it, I mean we can have a case where someone built it, but it's a case where naturally this wall is now the mechitza on Shabbat that wasn't beforehand. Ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezit, shema mechitza. Whether it happened accidentally or it happened intentionally, that is called a mechitza. La vitmar la. Didn't we say about this? Amar Rav Nachman, lo shanu ela lizrok. It's significant, this mechitza, in order to make it a reshut yachid min ha-Torah. Aval letaltel asur. Midrabanan, it still remains, or the restriction remains, that you're not allowed to carry in that area. Midrabanan, this mechitza has no significance. It does not allow you to carry in the area. If, for instance, beforehand it was not a reshut yachid, now that the wall falls there, it becomes a reshut yachid, you should be able to carry in this area. The answer is yes. Midoraita, you can carry in this area. Midrabanan, the Rabbanan say, since it happened on Shabbat, we're not going to give it significance, allow you to carry it around. So now Gemara modifies this. We saw this earlier. But Tosfot brought this up. Ki itmar de Rav Nachman a mezid. That maybe because Rav Nachman is unique to an area of mezid. If you put up a wall on Shabbat intentionally, then midoraita you have a reshut yachid. If somebody throws something reshut rabim into there, they will be chayav. On the other hand, midrabanan, we're not going to allow you to carry there. If this person intentionally built an area that's enclosed or a reshut yachid now on Shabbat, we're not going to allow him to carry if he violated the Shabbat, built a mechitza on Shabbat. That we're not going to allow to happen. On the other hand, b'shogeg, if it happens by itself, a mechitza now comes on Shabbat, that we will say you can carry around. Even midrabanan, you'll be allowed to carry around. Not only will it be a reshut yachid doraita, it will be a reshut yachid derabanan, and you'll be allowed to carry in that area. And that would be the answer, the Gabei Shabbat. The Gabei Shabbat, a mechitza that is made by itself, is a good mechitza. And if it's a good mechitza, then it has significance, the Gabe Shabbat, then will become functional on Shabbat. So the answer is, by Nichzei Ager, when you have the lower walls collapse, or sink in, and the upper wall is there, it happened in Memela. And that is not a Chazakah. That is, doesn't do anything. You've done nothing to change the, quote-unquote, status quo, and therefore you don't have no Chazakah, you have no ownership here. On Shabbat, where? Michitzot anaset mi'atzman. But yet, Michitzot, they happen by themselves, do have significance. That we see from the Braita. The Braita says, Mechitzot that land on Shabbat are Mechitzot. So there, by Shabbat, the lower wall sinking in, the upper wall now becoming significant, even though it happened by itself, it has halachic significance on Shabbat. And therefore, since it has halachic significance on Shabbat, it's as if the Mechitzot came up on Shabbat, or is now built. If that's the case, we have something good here. Which is that beforehand, if it was Hukap, Shalom the Dira, the wall was up there originally, then they put the house after the fact. You put up walls on top, and that did nothing, because you just have walls on top of the original walls, you did nothing. Then the lower walls sink into the ground, the upper walls now are significant on Shabbat. They are walls on Shabbat, and since they are walls on Shabbat, and even though it happens naturally or by itself, since they are significant, now you have an area that is Hukaf the Dira. Since it's Hukaf the Dira, because it happened after the fact, now that is good on Shabbat, and it'll be Hukaf the Dira, even though it's greater than a Beit Satayim, you'll be able to lose it on Shabbat. It has to be after, walls have to sink in after the house is there. The first walls were built before the house was there, the lower walls. Then you put the house there, and then you built the upper walls. So the upper walls are the only ones that are there after the dira was placed there, and they're the only ones that can make it hukaf the dira. And if it happens naturally, then the answer is yes, that it works on Shabbat. There was this woman who, in Nichzei Ager, went ahead and put up a mechitza on top of another mechitza. Atu gavra, another individual came along, and Rafa Paperto, he worked the land a little bit, he hoed it, he took a little shovel to it, and that was it. Atu the kamei de Rav Nachman, they had a machloka between them about who should take possession of the land now, and ukma biyode, Rav Nachman passed the law and says what the woman did was nothing. She put up walls on top of walls, and the second person who came along and worked the land, he gets possession of it. Ata dihi, she showed up in the court, v'katzavka kamei, and she's screaming at him that, what are you doing? I built a whole wall around here. How come it's not mine? Samalam, ma'ivad lach, what can I do for you? Talom mechaz, kedim mechaz ke'inche. You didn't make a chazaka on the land like people normally make a chazaka on the land. Had you simply just dug a little bit in the land, you would have been fine. Instead, you built all these walls around on top of other walls. That's not the normal way people take possession of the land. And we know it's not functional. We know that from our Gemara already, that doesn't work to become a chazaka for Nichzei Ager, and therefore I can't give it into your possession. You didn't take possession of the land, and therefore it was open to someone else to take possession of the land, and when he came and dug in the land, that was enough. Karpaf Beit Shalosh. We have an area that's enclosed that is greater than Beit Satayim. It's actually Shalosh, 3, Sa'a. So you have Beit Satayim plus an additional Sa'a. So you have a large expanse. Shalosh Hukaf the Dira. It's not Mukaf the Dira. So therefore, it cannot be above a Beit Satayim in order to be able to use it, or utilize it, or carry in it. But Vikira Bo Beit Sa'a. They covered over a Beit Sa'a with a roof. A portion of it, the Beit Sa'a, is now roofed over, and the remaining Beit Satayim are open. So what's the din here? Rova Amar, or the other Girsa, Rashi has a Girsa on the next Amud, it seems like he thinks that the Girsa here should be Rabo, which is Amar, Avir Kiryo, Kiruyo, Miyatro. That the area that is covered is considered to be an extension of the Beit Satayim, and you have too much area here. Beit Satayim exists. You have a covered area, an area that has a roof over it, that is a Sa'a. You add those two together, you're greater than a Beit Satayim. So he says the area that is roofed does not help you over here. You still have a large expanse. Rabbi Zera Amar, Ein Avir Kiruyo Miyatro. That the covered area is not included in the counting here. And therefore you have a Beit Satayim, and Beit Satayim is fine. And you can carry in that area. Lema Rabba Rava Virabi Zera Plukta the Rabbi Shmuel Kamiflige. Let us assume that they're arguing in this machloket of Rav and Shmuel. Ditmar, Achsadra Babiga. If you have, we'll call it equivalent of a gazebo of sorts, out in a bika in the valley. Rava Mar Mutar the Taltel Bikula. You can carry in the whole area. Ushmar in Bataltil in Elba Daladamot. You can only carry around in Daladamot. So the case here we have a bika, an area that's hukaf, that is greater than Beit Satayim. Larger than Beit Satayim by putting up this Achsadra, you reduce the area to below a Beit Sa'atayim. Does this Aksadra reduce the space down to change the area to be less than a Beit Sa'atayim and allow you to carry it there? Rav says yes. Shmuel says no. What the Aksadra is Machloket Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says the Aksadra here is Mikura Begag Chalak. It is a flat roofed area. It's a flat roofed gazebo. Here, Rashi doesn't tell you anything else about this Aksadra, but later on the Masechta, Rashi says the Aksadra is open on all four sides. Basically, it's a flat roof sitting on four posts. You have four amudim sitting there, and then you have a flat roofed area sitting on top of it, according to Rashi. That's the scenario that we're talking about. Tosafot disagrees and says that Gemara in many places talks about an Aksadra. Aksadra is an area that is enclosed by walls. Not totally. It has one old wall that is open. So, according to Rav over here, who says it's mutar letatel bikulo, then even if you have two walls in the Aksadra, that would be enough. Two walls that are perpendicular. Two walls that are perpendicular to each other, then the Aksadra works, and everything is fine here because it reduces the area. Shmuel says you need three walls on the Aksadra in order to make it work over here. Since there's only two walls, it doesn't work. So Tosafot says we're talking about a case here with two walls that are perpendicular, plus the roof on top. Rashi says we're talking about an open Aksadra on four posts with the flat roof on top of it. So Rav Amar Mutar, the Taltel Bekulo, why does he say you're allowed to do this? Amrinan, Pi Tikra, Yoreid Besultein. We say that the edge of the roof, which is a tefach wide, comes down and makes it as if there is a wall there. And then Pi Tikra, Yoreid Besultein, as if it's enclosed there. That area can now be, I would call it, cornered off from the remainder of the Bika. And by doing that, you've taken out the area that was in excess of a Beit Sa'atayim. And now you've reduced the area down to a Beit Sa'atayim, because this Aksadra takes away the space that's enclosed by the Aksadra. Even though it doesn't have physical walls, according to Rashi, because of the Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein, that works, according to Tosafot. According to Rav, since you have two walls, that's sufficient in order to say Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein for the other walls and make it significant over here. According to Shmuel, it only becomes significant if you have three walls, and then say the fourth wall is Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. Shmuel Amar, Eim Metaltelin El Rav Amot. He says you can only carry your amot. There remains a carmelite or an area that you can't carry in. Lo amrina in Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. We don't say that the edge of the wall comes down. Let's say that the same thing is true in our machlok between Rabba Rova and Rabbi Zeira. They said the same thing. They have a three sa'ah area. Two sa'atayim are open, and the third sa'ah has a roof over it. They're roofed area over here. Do we say Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein, and that area that's roofed becomes separate, significant, and the Beit Sa'atayim now remains, and that's the only thing that you have and you can carry in that area? Or do we say, don't say Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein, and the whole area is considered one expanse, and you still have three sa'ah there that you can't carry in? So let's say that they have the same machloket. Rabba and Rabbi Zeira are arguing in the same issue that Rabba and Rabbi Zeira argued. Gemara's answer is, I David ki achsadra hachanami. If in the case of Rabba and Rabbi Zeira, they had made the thing like a nachsadra, you're right. Then they would have the same machloket. The answer is that that case by Rabban Rav Zera is a different case, which is Achamai Skinan, the Avda Ki Urzila. That they made it like an Urzila. There are other Girsaot, which is either Arzila or Tosafot has a Girsa, you can see in Tosafot, of Arzila. So now, the case here is actually different, which is that Rabban Rav Zera's case is not a case akin to Rabban Shmuel. Rashi explained the case of Rabban Shmuel, saying that a flat-roofed item that is up on four posts. And therefore we say, Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. And in that case, Rabba would agree with Rav that Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. On the other hand, the case over here, the roofed area, is actually an Orzila, which Rashi says is a pointed roof. It is a slanted roof. And the reason that it doesn't work anymore is because you don't say, Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. You need a peh. You need a pi, you need an edge to the roof in order to have it go down and be sultein. So that works when you have a flat roof. You can have a tefach at the end, that's the peh, that's hanging over a little bit, and that is sultein, that comes down. But when you have a slanted roof, you no longer have that peh at the edge, because of the nature of the slanted roof, and because of that, it doesn't go down. That's Rabba's claim. Rabba's claim is, I agree with Rav that Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. That's true when you have a flat roof. But over here, we're dealing with a slanted roof, a pointed roof. In that case, the edges of the roof are not a peh anymore, they're not a peh. And since they're not a pair, you can't say pair at Tikra Yoreid V'Sultein. Obviously, Rabbi Zeira differs in that case and disagrees and says that it still works in that case. Or, according to Tosafot, the difference here is by Rav and Shmuel, we were dealing with a case where there were walls there. At least two walls for Rav to say Piyah Tikrei Road Visotem, according to Shmuel, at least three walls around the Etzadja. Over here we're talking about an arsala. An arsala is the equivalent of a hammock. A hammock that's hanging from four trees. You have a sheet that is now tied to four trees around it, and the shomer, the guard there, sleeps in it at night like a hammock, and then during the day sits under it for shade. But that is the equivalent, that's an achsadra that has no walls around it. So that's where they're arguing. Do you have to have a minimum of walls around it for it to be considered a piyah tikrei or visotem? And again, Rava says, I agree with Rav. If there were two walls there that were perpendicular, I would agree that it's piyah tikrei or visotem. Here I have a case where there's a roof or a hammock that's sitting there, and there are no walls. So you can't say piyah tikrei or visotem when there are no walls there, or the roof isn't thick enough to say piyah tikrei or visotem. It's a totally different case. So what they did was, you're right, they could have had the same machloket, they could have fit together if they were talking about the same case. What the Gemara says is that we're talking about two different cases. Rav and Shmuel are arguing about an achsadra, and whatever that definition is, according to Rashi or according to Tosafot, and Rav and Rabbi Zeira are arguing about an orzila or an arsala, which is a separate case, and there you can't compare their machlokot. They're dealing with different issues that are not akin, and therefore the machloket is not akin. Amar Rabbi Zeira, umodina bekarpaf shinifrat bimlo de chatzer she'asur. Rabbi Zeira says that everybody agrees, or I agree, that if when a karpaf is surrounded, and then the wall that between the karpaf and the chatzer breaks down, that excess of the chatzer now makes it problematic for you to carry in that area. Before we had an area that was enclosed, that was less than a beit satayim. All of a sudden, one of the walls of the karpaf falls down. One of the walls of the karpaf falls down, and on the other side of this wall is a chatzer that expands the space of the karpaf to above Beit Satayim. Does that ruin it? Rabbi Zeira says, even there I agree that it ruins it. So let's understand why. My time. Why is that? Hold the avir chatzer mi yatro. So because the airspace of the chatzer expands the area of the karpaf now, and since it expands the area of the karpaf, you have now a karpaf that exceeds Beit Satayim. And since it wasn't hukaf l'dira, you have a problem now, which is that you have an area enclosed that's greater than Beit Satayim, that's not hukaf l'dira. It's kamat kithla Rav Yosi. V'chi avir hamutar lo osro. How can you have an area that is normally mutar be otser, something that before was totally fine? Separately, the chatzer was fine, and the karpaf was fine. And we're going to see in a second that even the karpaf to the chatzer were fine. So if that's the case, when the wall breaks down, now you have a karpaf that's open to an area that's otherwise mutar, though. Why is it that we have a problem over here? Samalei Abaye, keman. This must be according to Rabbi Shimon. Why? Rabbi Shimon said before that there are three areas that are considered to be a single reshut on Shabbat. And that is karpaf, chatzer, and gagot. Those three areas are all considered to be one area. You can carry items that were left in a chatzer. You can carry them from the chatzer to a karpaf, from a karpaf to a gag, to a roof. All three of those areas are considered to be one entity, one area. And you can carry between them. So now, the question that Rav Yosef is posing and saying, it's an avir hamutarlo. Beforehand, you could have taken items that were in the chatzer, carried them to the karpaf, from the karpaf and carried them to chatzer. The karpaf was less than beit satayim. Shelo hukaf the dira. Okay, chatzer, fine. It's owned by one person. One person owns both of these areas, so we don't have a problem with multiple ownership. So you could carry from the chatzer to the karpaf, karpaf to the chatzer, just because the wall fell down? Why should that change the dynamic now? The wall falling down now means I have a karpaf that's open to an area that is otherwise mutarlo. That shouldn't change the dynamic. So Gemara says, the Rabbi Shimon nami, ha'ikavir makom mechitzot. Problem here is the air space or the area that the walls used to take up. You're right, as far as the chatzer is concerned, the chatzer is an area that is mutarlo. But the problem is where the wall used to stand. There used to be a wall there. The wall fell down. The wall belongs to the karpaf. The area of the wall now makes karpaf an area greater than Beit Satayim, and that's not an area that's open, quote-unquote, open to an area that's mutarlo. That was part of the karpaf. And since it was part of the karpaf and the wall fell down, now you have an expanse that is greater than Beit Satayim. And that's what causes the problem. Da'amar Rav Chista, karpaf, shenifratz bimlo'o. If you have a karpaf, and on one side, the entire side now breaks open into a chatzer. Chatzer muteret, the chatzer, the courtyard remains mutar. Karpaf, asur, the karpaf is problematic. Chatzer maitaima, what's the reason that the chatzer is mutar? De'ile gifufe. Because for the chatzer, it wasn't the entire wall that broke down. The chatzer was wider than the karpath. Since the chatzer was wider than the karpath, the wall that broke down between them left those side pieces left. The gufufe, the side edges left on the fourth side. And we have to assume that the breach is less than 10 amot. Because 10 amot expanse is a doorway. So if it's less than 10 amot, that's classified as a doorway because of the gifufe that are there. The chatzer remains mutar. On the other hand, the karpaf is asur because it opened up and you have an expanse now that is open. Gemara says, v'ha zimnin mishkachala ipka. There's sometimes that could be the opposite. How do you know that the chatzer is bigger than, wider than the karpaf? What happens if the karpaf is wider than the chatzer? How can you make a blanket statement that when you have a karpaf that breaks open into a chatzer, that automatically means that the chatzer is mutar and the karpaf is asur? What happens if it's the opposite way around? The karpaf is wider and the chatzer is narrower, and that wall that breaks down now should make the chatzer problematic and leave the karpaf should be fine. How can you make that blanket statement? Ella, it must be mishum darminan ze avir mechitzot miyatro v'ze ein avir mechitzot miyatro. So Gemara's conclusion here is that there's a difference between the chatzer and the karpaf because of the space of the wall. I'll explain that in one second. The Gemara at first thought, okay, we're dealing with Rabbi Shimon, and since we're dealing with Rabbi Shimon, the areas are mutar to be carried from one to the other. When the wall breaks down between them, I now have a karpaf that is open into the area that is otherwise mutar to it. That should be fine. That should not cause a problem. The answer of the Gemara was that avir mechitzot. It was the airspace of the mechitzot that caused the karpaf to be too big now. The Gemara then brings this case with the chatzer and the karpaf and says the chatzer is mutar, the karpaf is asur. The explanation for that was because of the gufufe, because of the edges of the walls. Gemara says, how can you know that that's the case? How do you know that the edges of the walls are the solution? The number one assumption is that this is according to the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, who say that a karpaf and a chatzer are considered to be two different areas. Therefore, when a karpaf, the wall breaks down, you have the karpaf now open into an area that is asurla. Since it's open to an area that's asurla, the karpaf is asur. The chatzer doesn't have a problem. It has the gufufe, it has a petach, that's fine, because it has the equivalent of being enclosed. It says the equivalent of being enclosed and you have a doorway there. For the chatzer side, even though it's open into an area that's asur, having the doorway and the gufufe is enough to separate it, and it remains mutar. And that would be within the opinion of the chachamim. The Gemara answers back to that, well, if that's what you think is the reason that one's mutar and one's asur, well, how do you know that the case is that the chatzer is wider than the karpaf? The karpaf could be wider than the chatzer, and according to you, the din would be completely different. Because in that case, the gufufe would belong to the karpaf, and the chatzer would be the one with the problem. So how can you make this blanket statement that chatzer is mutar and karpaf is asur? Ella, the answer must be, we're holding like Rabbi Shimon. We hold like Rabbi Shimon that they are mutar to each other. What is the problem? Then why is the karpaf asur and the chatzer mutar? If we don't think that it's the gufufe that's doing it, or the doorway that's doing it, what's making the difference? The answer is the airspace of the walls. The walls bend down, and now there's extra space there. For the chatzer is an area that's hukaf l'dira, because there's a house that's the definition of a chatzer. Chatzer has houses that open up into it, a courtyard. So it's a hukaf l'dira. You want to add on space to it? No problem. Hukaf l'dira can be as big as you want. So even now, if it makes it greater than Beit Satayim, that doesn't bother us, because it was originally hukaf l'dira. On the other hand, the karpaf, which originally was not hukaf l'dira, it has a maximum limit of Beit Satayim. The walls falling down now allow it to expand beyond the Beit Satayim and cause a problem for it. So the answer is it's within the position of Rabbi Shimon that they're mutar to each other. The problem here is now you've created a greater expanse. For the chatzer, the greater expanse is meaningless. It doesn't change anything because it's ukaf l'dira. For the karpaf, shalom ukaf l'dira, the extra expanse is problematic, and that makes it asur here. The chatzer is narrow, then it will help you for the karpaf, because then it can become a doorway instead of being an extra expanse of the karpaf. If it's designated as a doorway, then it's not part of the karpaf, it's part of the walls. If it's not designated as a doorway, which is mimlo'o, then you have a problem because it becomes a part of the area of the karpaf. So you're right. So if the karpaf happens to be wider than the chatzer, you have gifufe, petach is less than eser amot, then you don't have the expanse of the Beit Satayim exceeding that area. Mutar, because the chatzer is no problem if you have an extra space there. I mean, the chatzer, even if it's bigger than it was before, again, we're doing this according to Rabbi Shimon. This is all according to Rabbi Shimon, who says a karpaf and a chatzer have one reshut. So therefore, when the chatzer opens into the karpaf, that's not a problem. It's something that's perutz, the makom shemutar lo. So that's fine. According to Rabbanan, it would be problematic in that case. How bustana? To have a samech the guda da padno. There was this orchard that was near the wall of a palace or a large house. Nafal ashita braita. The outer wall falls down the abadno of the house. Savara bibi the meimar lismoch aguda geviato. We should rely on the inner wall. Rashi and Tosafot here argue about what the case is. Rashi says here, you have a area that is surrounded by a wall, a portrait that's surrounded by a wall. The fourth wall is made up of a house being placed up against that orchard. There's a door from the house into the orchard. So it's an area that's mukaf l'dira. Then all of a sudden, that outer wall of the house collapses. You've lost one of your walls of the orchard. One of the walls of the orchard was the house itself, the wall of the house. That wall falls down. Now, the wall's gone. The suggestion would be that the house has a wall on the other side. On the other side of the house, which is, if you take the inner side of the house all the way to the outside, it has a wall there. So that should function as the fourth wall now. That's the way Rashi reads it. So Tosafot says, no, there's a case there was an orchard that was greater than Beit Tayim, and they put up a wall, so it was an area that was hukaf, ulusof patach. The wall was built before, or the bustana, the orchard was there before the house. So in order to solve that problem, they built a wall more than four tefachim away from the wall of the house. And that obviously also had a door into the bustan, into the orchard, that had the door of the house behind it. So now it becomes hukaf the dira with this new addition. That wall fell down, and the house wall still exists. The wall of the house, meaning that the house has a wall up against the orchard. They built an additional wall in front of the house wall, and that fourth wall falls down, but the house is still behind it with the wall there. That's the way Tosafot learns it. So now the Gemara says, Amar Leih Rav Papi, Mishum Atu Mimulai Amito Milu Miluyato. Since you are Mimulai, according to Rashi, means that you are from Beit Eli, that are people who die young or get cut off. Therefore, you said words that are going to get cut off, meaning that things that don't make sense. You can see here in the Masorah Tashas, he brings down a more positive statement about Mimulai, but it's clear from Rashi that this was much more of a negative statement, that he said something that wasn't meaningful, because Harach Mechitzot de Gavai Avidan, the Barai Lo Avidina. These walls are made to enclose the internal, not the external. So according to Rashi, that means that the other wall of the house was not built as a wall for the orchard, it was built as a wall for the house. You're right, the original house, when it stood and had four walls, that wall, the last wall, was built for two functions. It was built for the outside, to close the orchard, and the inside, to enclose the house. But now that that wall fell down, the other wall on the other side is an inner wall of the house. I mean, that, as far as the orchard is concerned, you have now the open house there with the wall on the other side. That shouldn't impact the orchard because that wall was built for the inside of the house, not to surround the orchard. According to Tosafot, it makes even more sense, which is that you built a new wall for the orchard. That wall falls down. Now the house wall is there. It's an outer wall of the house, but that house wall wasn't built to close off the orchard. It was built to enclose the area that's inside the house. So it's a mechitza that's made to be functional on the inside, not functional on the outside. And therefore, you can't all of a sudden say, oh, now it's an outside wall, that it's a wall for the orchard as well. That's not what the mechitza was built for. The mechitza was built for the inner side, or it was an inner wall. And therefore, this mechitza, after the fact, will not be a good mechitza, because these walls were not put up for the purpose of being the wall of the orchard. According to Rashi, because it's the opposite wall of the house, inside of the house. According to Tosafot, there was an additional wall there, and then, when the wall fell down, it may not have a breach in the wall, because you have another wall, but it's more than Beit Satayim, and it's not considered to be hukaf the dira. According to Tosafot, it won't be considered hukaf the dira, because the dira already existed, and the dira wall was for the house, not for the orchard itself. So therefore, according to Tosafot, Rabbi Bar Abaye believes that the new wall allowed it now to become hukaf the dira, who is patach, usof hukaf. But when that wall falls down, Rabbi Bar Abaye says that does not change the status of the hukaf the dira now. Once you've established it's hukaf the dira, even though it falls back to the original walls that were hukaf and the sof patach, that doesn't change the status here because you created it as a Beit Dira. On the other hand, Rav Papi says, no, once that new wall falls, you're back to the old situation. The old situation was not a case where you were hukaf achar patach, and it's not considered to be hukaf le dira. According to Rashi, the whole thing was hukaf le dira from the beginning, after the dira already existed, and that's not the problem here. The problem simply is that the wall of the house that you're using for the bastona, according to Rabbi Bar Abaye, it doesn't matter if it's the outer wall of the house or the other side and the inner side of the other wall of the house. Rav Papi says that's not the case. The outer wall of the house that was there originally was built for that purpose. The wall on the other side of the house was built for the internal structure of the house, the internal encasement of the house, not to be the outer wall of the orchard, and therefore it cannot function as another mechitza. Okay, we're going to stop over here because the next sugya continues all the way into the middle of the next amud.